There is one thing no other faith can claim, the assurance of Christ's literal return. It is our blessed hope. Recently, one of our conference speakers encouraged us with that thought. We are sharing it again with you today.
I'll tell you, this conference is important because we're in the end times, and we need to know what's happening in the world. And when you come to understand the times and you hear people like Dr. Robert Jeffress and Michelle Bachman and others, you hear right on track. And folks, we know that Jesus is coming soon. The question is, what will we do about it? And the conference also helps us on that.
I think this is very significant, what we're doing. And I think we're learning more about the world, and we need to know where to be focused on. And we are so excited to be in here just to get additional knowledge, what we need for our walk in life.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, we'll hear the second message Pastor Jack Hibbs delivered at last month's Understanding the Times conference. Jack Hibbs is the founder and senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Jack's teachings are heard on many international radio stations throughout Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and the Hawaiian Islands. In October, our conferees heard Pastor Hibbs address our prophetic assurance, how biblical eschatology sets the church apart from all other religions. We'll share that same presentation with you today. Here is Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. This hour, we're going to be playing a conference message from Understanding the Times 2015, back on October 2nd and 3rd. And we had a wonderful time of ministry and fellowship that weekend with almost 7,000 attendees over 2 days coming from about 20 states. And we appreciated the ministry of Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Michelle Bachman, and Amir Sarfati from Israel, Bible and prophecy teacher. And we're going to be playing this hour Jack Hibbs' closing message, which was a very, very moving hour. And he closes with a wonderful challenge to all of us. And that particular message was about our prophetic assurance, the glorious things we have to look forward to as Christians who are actually excited about one-third of the Bible, which is Bible prophecy focused and emphasis. So I'd like to head right on over to Pastor Jack Hibbs for his closing message, Understanding the Times 2015.
I'm going to ask you to get your Bible ready and get your notes ready. We're looking at a message then in our closing of this conference entitled Our Prophetic Assurance. And it's the very spirit of which I want to bring this message to you, is that God has given his prophetic word to us. And I'm happy to report that, for example, the cults of the world have no prophetic scriptures. Islam claims to have prophetic scriptures. And then when you look at Islamic eschatology, it is actually what happened was the authorship of the Quran actually stole from existing verses in the Bible and then flipped them to make it their eschatology. It's completely perverted. Why do I bring this up? Because the God that has promised your salvation is the God that keeps his promises, is the God that tells you the future in advance, that everything that's taking place right now, everything that we've heard in these sessions together is to remind you. God would have us leave today grabbing onto the truth that our God knows the future. And for that reason, we need not worry. Yes, I look into the eyes of my grandkids and I'm tempted to worry. But then I remember, wait, God is the God of my grandkids. He's the God of my daughters. He's the God, listen, he's the God of it all. He knows exactly what he's doing. And all that we're seeing, listen, all that we're seeing happening to our great nation, founded upon Judeo-Christian truth. Outside of Israel, the United States is the only other country in the world that can say that. I'm delighted. In the next couple weeks, we take our annual trips to Israel. And in a few weeks, we're taking our church on a God in America heritage tour up and down the East Coast of America to point out the biblical sites that are there recorded in Scripture. Really, I mean, it's amazing the things where Scripture is represented in our nation and on the East Coast. A lot of people don't know that. Our country. So we're saddened as believers to see what's going on, yet at the same time, as Michelle clearly pointed out today, our citizenship is in heaven. Our politic is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. And God help us, if some of us are a little bit too comfortable here in this world as believers, then maybe we ought to get jarred up a little bit and be reminded. And I think many of us are being reminded now as our heavenly home is looking better every day. Our prophetic assurance. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. God says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. Listen, I tell you of them. That's Yahweh, God of the Bible. That's what he says in Isaiah. Jesus in John 14, 29 says, "And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe." A tremendous statement of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God, God incarnate, drawing the Old Testament with the same statement. God reveals the future. Jesus says that he is the Word of God. Jesus is announcing, "I have told you these things in advance." Our prophetic assurance as Christians is the very thing at an hour like this that is going to bolster you in these coming days. What do we do? How do we act? What do we say? We've got bragging rights. I mean that humbly and yet sincerely. As Christians, we have bragging rights about our God and about your scriptures that you have in your lap today. Again, in Isaiah, the Bible tells us, Isaiah 46, verse 9, "For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done." That's your God. He knows, listen, he knows what you're going to have for dinner tonight. Did you know that? You don't know. You think you know. You think you know. Last night, this is secret. I mean, he's on the flight now. He won't know this. Pastor Robert, after service last night, he goes, "I got to go to Five Guys. Take me to Five Guys. I've got to go to Five Guys." You should have seen us. It was funny. Because here's this spiritual giant. He leaves the stage last night. 200 people get saved. He thundered the audience. And we pulled up the Five Guys at 1 minute after they had locked the door. I took a little picture to see the great pastor in the moment of carnality. God was in charge of that 1 minute after 10 o'clock of closing time. God's in charge of every moment. God's in charge. Again, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 says, "Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a gracious God and Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." 27% of your Bible is of prophetic eschatological promises of God. And so before we go any further, I want you guys to be reminded of the fact, you know this all the time, that when something begins to happen, the news begins to begin to ask Bible questions. There's a clip that I want you to see, a Newsweek cover of Newsweek magazine, and I just want to point something out to you about that. In this cover that Newsweek magazine showed regarding Bible prophecy, that it announced, I don't know if we have it or not, but that magazine cover was announcing Newsweek about Bible prophecy coming to pass. And I love that, because when the world gets shaken, nobody runs to the Quran. Nobody runs to the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Nobody runs to... No, really, where do they go? The Bible. CNN calls. What's happening in the Middle East? What's the biblical significance? It's the Bible. Because it's the God of the Bible that has made these great promises. And my thrust today is that the God, the prophetic God of the Bible, will keep the ultimate prophetic promise to you. And that is to get you into heaven. He's going to keep his word to get you there. With all that's taking place, you can become overwhelmed. Be focusing on the fact that God has made these great promises, and you can rest assured in. Dr. John Wolfert from, well, now he's in heaven, but at the time at Dallas Theological Seminary, Dr. Wolfert said, "In a day of great confusion and uncertainty about the future, the Bible gives its plan or its plain revelation as to where we are in God's program and where we will be going. No other book can do more for those who put their trust in its truth. No other book is inspired of God, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, revealing God's truth without any mixture of error." That's a great statement, and it's a true one. "It is the Bible that is trustworthy, as God is himself." True statement. It's a wonderful thing to realize. So as we look at some things today, and again, I might depart a little bit from the notes, I hope you forgive me, regarding our prophetic assurance, take great stock in the fact that God is committed to keeping his word. You know that God loves you. The Bible tells us that we're to call upon his name. And yet the Bible tells us in Psalm 138 that regarding God's name, he says of himself, he's speaking. He says, "I have esteemed my word above my own name." What a great statement that is. And his word to you is that he will save you, he will take you to heaven, and he'll keep you through these troubling times. And I want to make that very clear. He'll keep you through these troubling times. What do I mean? Yes, as Amir was saying a moment ago, we are to occupy until the Lord comes. And many of our brothers and sisters in the world, as I mentioned last night, are giving their lives for Christ. Listen, he did not abandon them. As I said last night, the truth of the matter is God is keeping his word, and he will get us through until our time comes. And even in the midst of what might look like our last moment, maybe it's by some form of domestic terrorism or attacks or whatever, God is going to keep his word to you. You can trust him. You can hang on to him. God will do it. He's committed to do that, and he will do it. The effect of Bible prophecy upon us, how does it build assurance in our lives? Yes, God will keep his word to us. He'll fulfill it. When we look at, listen, 27% of the Bible being future, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is what's fun to me. What has been fulfilled in Scripture has been fulfilled 100% literally as God has said it. So, Pastor, those fulfilled Scriptures of the Bible that have been fulfilled, were they done symbolically? Were they done some sort of in a typological way? I'm happy to report, friends, Bible prophecy that has been fulfilled up until now has been fulfilled literally. That's why it is an offense, as you've heard this weekend, to say, like many churches in America are saying today, that God is not behind the reestablishment of the nation Israel. That's an absolute false doctrine. That's a lie from hell. It robs God of his glory. No, he's at work. God keeps his word, and God keeps his word according to the timing of God. So listen, as believers, how does this affect us? It affects us a couple of ways. Confidence. It gives us confidence in the scripture. We can be assured of that. The second thing is boldness. Listen, when you know what God has said to be true, it spawns boldness.
If you just join me, I'm playing a message this hour of Pastor Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, one of my lineup of speakers back on October 2nd and 3rd, our prophetic assurance. Let's get right back to Pastor Hibbs.
Now, I know in a gathering like this, we're all maybe from different denominations and stuff, so I say it this way. By the way, this is just like our church back home. At our church back home, we've got Pentecostals, we've got Catholics that come, we've got Baptists, we've got Lutherans, we've got Bapticostals, if there's such a thing. We've got it all. I get that part. But when I say what I'm about to say, know that this is the answer I'm looking for. What does it look like in a person's life when the Holy Spirit comes upon them? Some Baptists may not know what to say about that. They'll kind of look at me. The Pentecostals will say, speak in tongues. All fantastic, but that's not what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us, and we need this now more than ever, that when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, they went out and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what we need. In your communities, we need you to be bold. In your communities, we need you to stand up, to speak up. My heart, I was sitting right there last night. My heart was so excited with what Pastor Robert was saying, and then this morning as well. Because you know what? This is my opinion. We got into this condition as a nation. God knows exactly what's going on, but he has built into his plan to pause the clock if a nation repents. And listen, God is not asking Barack Obama to repent. I think God is asking Barack Obama to get saved. Listen, God is calling the church to repent. He's calling us to repent. And God might press pause on that meter that's running. He allows that. Nineveh was condemned to destruction. And what caused God to pause on that clock? The repentance of Nineveh. If Nineveh can repent, we can repent. But God is saying, I want my people to repent. He's not asking the sinners to repent. He's asking the saints to repent. Our churches have gone astray. Our pulpits have become watered down, weak. Pastors have become sold out to popularity or trying to grow a big crowd. That doesn't work. We've got mega churches in America, and the church in America is making the least amount of difference than ever before. The mega church movement, in my opinion, is dead. The other thing is this. Well, we need to be relevant. Excuse me? We need to be relevant. Listen, here's relevant. Follow Jesus. Jesus is always relevant. You'll never have to worry about it. Well, we're going to have a relevant conference. Well, I hope the Holy Spirit's there, or else it's not going to be relevant. We need to engage the culture. We need to repent and do good works for Christ. Listen, you don't do good works to get saved. After you're saved, you do good works. We get to do good things because we get to, not because we have to. Listen, if you're living your Christian life and you think you have to do good works to be saved or to keep your salvation, let me tell you something. Jesus said, come to me. He'll save you. You can't save yourself. He'll do it. But after you have the confidence of God's word and the boldness of the Holy Spirit, you get up and you live your life, and it's going to affect your culture. It's going to affect everything of your area, of your community, of your life, of your family. It makes a big difference. What happens? Courage. God's people need courage today. There's no reason why we should not have courage. Our God sits on the throne. What is courage? Confidence, boldness, courage spawns passion and conviction. Do you know what you believe? Can you define it? Can you explain that? I want to share something with you, and this is one of those verses that was shared this morning that I warned you about. That's a repeat in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul said to the Philippians, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me," remember, he's in prison in Rome, "the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Church, we need to adopt that. The things that are happening to us are for the furtherance of the gospel. Would you agree with me that things look bleak, things look dark, things look kind of scary if you let that happen? Pause right there. Take a perspective from God's vision, from God's vantage point, and realize these things that are happening right now, these things, if we follow the Lord, will give us opportunity to share Christ. These are great days. Listen, right now, I'd like to commission you to do this. By whatever means necessary, target your neighborhood, the homes that are on either side of your house, on your street from here on out, and you go to them and you knock on their door and you tell them, "Hey, listen, I'm a Christian. I want you to know I pray for this neighborhood, and I want you to know things are going to get pretty crazy on TV. You'll see it on CNN. When you do, you can come to my house for a Bible study. I want you to know God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Have a nice day." And walk, go to the next house. Go to the next house. You say, "What will my neighbors think? They already think you're nuts. Go there anyway." Forget about what they think. Do it. Paul says, this stuff has happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. He went on. He said in verse 13, "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains," you can almost hear Paul rattle those chains, "are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." What an awesome truth that is. What a great hope that is. Passion, conviction, boldness. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Paul there says, "And see, now I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations, troubles, await me. But none of these things move me," listen to this, "but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Now, you guys, I want to comment on this for a minute, and I want you to take this home. I want to commission you to this boldness. What made Paul stand there when Agabus, the prophet, said, "Who owns this band?" Well, it's the Apostle Paul's. He's right over there. And remember, he bound himself up. He said, "Whoever owns this is going to go to Jerusalem bound, tied up, and taken into captivity." And everybody's all concerned. "Oh, no, it's Paul's belt, and it belongs to Paul. We don't want that to happen to Paul." And Paul said, "What are you doing? Give me that belt." And you can see him put it on with boldness. "Give me that thing." And he straps that belt on. And he says, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, but the bottom line is this. God's commissioned me." Do you remember his calling? He was on that highway heading up to Damascus. Remember Acts chapter 9? And he winds up encountering Jesus, gets knocked off his donkey. That had to be amazing. His entourage were with him. They saw him go down. They heard things, but they didn't understand what was going on. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul and gave him his calling. Remember that? And Ananias was hiding out for fear. If you think about what Paul was commissioned to, Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, he was commissioned to go attack Christians, wasn't he? To arrest them and beat them and kill them if necessary. Saul, then he was the ISIS dude of that time. And he's heading to Damascus. Sound familiar? Hey, let's pray. Lord, knock those dudes off their donkeys. How about it? It happened before. Lord, save them. I mean, I have to confess, don't tell anybody, but you know what? It's kind of like, you know, if they get nuked or blown up, well, you know, pick your friends more carefully, I guess. But as a pastor, I could never say that publicly, you know? But here's what I'm kidding, kind of, sort of. But here's the deal is, hey, in that neck of the woods, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, appeared to Saul of Tarsus. He got saved. God could save ISIS. Wouldn't that be fun? Satan's down there, you know, licking his chops. Oh, look what's going on. Can you imagine if the gospel went out and hit ISIS in the head? They start getting saved all over the place. The calling came, and Paul knew his calling. And Ananias received that same word. And the Lord said, "Ananias, listen, I want you to go to him. And listen, because I've singled this man out. He's going to be a great minister, and he's going to bear my name before kings and the leaders of the world and to the Jewish people and the Gentiles." Why do I say this? Because I want to commission you today. Listen, you have been called to share the gospel. Is that not true? Everyone, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. I hope you're not lying in church right now by raising your hand. You've been commissioned. You've got a calling on your life. You say, well, I'm no Paul. No, you know what? You may be a Bob or a Susie. Here's the deal. God has put people in your life. You're supposed to tell them. You're supposed to tell them.
We'll get right back to Jack Hibbs and his message on the importance and the comfort and the assurance we get from Bible prophecy. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to take my first break of the hour. I'll say more about CDs and DVDs when we get back, because we do have them available, and if you order them fairly soon, we can get them out to you for Christmas giving as well. So I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
In just a moment, we'll return to Jack Hibbs on today's Understanding the Times. You're listening to the playback of a message Jack Hibbs delivered at our 19th Understanding the Times conference. That session, along with all the others from our conference presenters, are available to you now as video or audio recordings. Order your 2015 conference memories at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or by calling 763-559-4444. Again, click on to olivetreeviews.org or call 763-559-4444. Some of our attendees told us this year's conference was one of the best events we've ever held. Our speakers included Dr. Robert Jeffress, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. We appreciate your support for this broadcast ministry so very much. As a prayer and financial partner, you are part of the team that's bringing the inconvenient truth to America. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Stay with us for more details on our conference DVDs and CDs. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, the sons of Issachar understood the times. How our times have changed since then. Today, our world is confused, angry, and even desperate. That's why we present annual conferences. According to all feedback, our latest Understanding the Times, 2015, October 2nd and 3rd, was our best. It featured pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Where is Islam going? What is the future of radical Islam? What does the Bible say about the future of radical Islam?
From Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The Bible goes to great length to say to the believers of every age for the last 2,000 years, be watching, be ready, be vigilant, be on guard. Some of the Hebrew words mean, or Greek words mean, to be scanning the horizon while you're living life.
Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
You see, these are perilous times. I don't believe it will be 13 years until Iran has nuclear bombs. I think it will be far sooner.
And Bible and prophecy teacher from Israel, Amir Sarfati.
These are the last days. This is it. We've come to the finish line. The rapture of the church can be any minute. All the signs are here.
Six messages focused on current events in light of the Bible, Bible prophecy, and deception in the church. All six messages on DVD with valuable PowerPoint are $40 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. All six messages on CD are $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. To order, call 763-559-4444. Order online at olivetreeviews.org or write to Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Don't be left behind. Stay up to date, on top of events, with an eye on the sky.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I'm attending this conference because how we as Christians should view the events that are happening in this world and how that affects our faith. And the greatest thing is that we know that our hope is in the victory of Christ.
Hi, I'm Phil. These conferences with Olive Tree Ministry are so important because what they do is they bring forth today what is happening around the world and in our world, and biblical prophecy is just coming true right before your eyes.
On Understanding the Times today, Jan Markell sharing a message from our recent fall conference, a presentation titled, Our Prophetic Assurance, how biblical eschatology sets the church apart from all other religions. Let's return now to Jan Markell and Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Okay, and welcome back. And again, we're playing Pastor Jack Hibbs' closing message from Understanding the Times 2015. Let me just quickly say we are planning our 2016 event. You might put it on your calendar. We have a lineup of speakers, not quite finalized yet, but it will be Saturday, October the 15th, 2016, at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, suburb of Minneapolis. Confirmed thus far are Ann Graham Lotz, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and White House correspondent Bill Koenig, and we're still working on our speaker lineup, so we'll have more to say about that in the coming weeks and months. So mark it on your calendar, get your vacation days planned. Let's get right back to Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Find out what your calling is, and then live it unwaveringly, so that you might say, you know what, this thing, look, for you it might be a job. I work for the state, or I work for Boeing, or I work for, what is it? It could be like chains. Yeah, you said it, Pastor. I got to go there on Monday. It's a horrible thing. Listen, Christian, God has placed you in that place for a reason. You're chained to that thing by calling. And you go and you tell people. And so he was commissioned. And I love this because he says, I don't care if I get arrested. Why? Because, listen, he was confident. He had his calling. When they said, you're going to be thrown in prison, this is Paul's response. I remember the Lord called me. I remember. I'm going to be brought before Gentiles and Jews and kings. Kings in that age would be leaders and ultimately the emperor. So he knew his calling, so nothing deterred him, ladies and gentlemen. He had absolute confidence. He had absolute prophetic assurance, right? Based upon a promise from God, he knew how things were going to go. So, for example, if somebody were to say, you're going to die, Paul, he would just come back with things like this. Well, to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? Paul would say, none of these things move me for this reason. I haven't been to Rome yet. So what? The prophecy upon my life is I'm going to preach to the emperor of the world. I haven't been to Rome yet. Can't die yet. Oh, we're going to kill you. You can try all you want, but I know my calling. That gives me boldness, passion, confidence. You can try all you want. Apparently, I'm not going to die. Because I haven't preached the gospel yet to my brethren, the Jews. So, do you see the boldness he had? Because he knew what God had told him to do. Christian, listen, you're to know that. It's my only hope for America. The answer's not in the White House. Hello. The answer's not in the State House. The answer is in God's house. Listen, mathematically, we will never recover from our debt. But you know what? It's an indicator of how late the hour is. Because you know what? God is gathering to himself a people who trust him because the time is so short. God wants, listen, you and I to be so energized by the Holy Spirit to speak to the community around us that others might be saved. Our mission in life right now ought to be to bring with us as many men and women and boys and girls into the kingdom of heaven than it's ever been before. You've got to know your calling in the midst of an age when God is setting things up for us to use as not only a witnessing tool, but to give us that confidence. I got to tell you, man, the things that are happening, I wrote a few things down. Russia, we know well now in the Middle East. In fact, man, I wrote this down 5 days ago. Look how much has changed. Global economies are collapsing. The increase of lawlessness, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said that would happen. Now watch, this is something to actually make you more confident. Don't worry, don't leave the building and panic. Just wait. Ethnic wars are breaking out. The breakdown, Michelle Bachman mentioned that this morning, or today, the breakdown of national borders. Borders, breakdown of that. Things that are done today in the name of faith, or faith in Jesus. Well, I go to a church, or I believe in Jesus, and really? Increased immorality? The homosexual issue? On June 26th, when that decision was made, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, our church is one of the architects of Proposition 8 in California. Do you know what was decided on June 26th, started in California with Proposition 8? What was Proposition 8? We took a biblical stand because we were being attacked. We took a biblical stand on Genesis 1 and 2 that God defined marriage. Look, listen, here's if you want to sleep around and do whatever you do, that's between you and God in the end. That's not my business. But when somebody comes out to make it public and they say, you can't do this anymore in marriages, or you can't do this you can't speak about this, and this is the way that it is. Listen, you're attacking Genesis, ladies and gentlemen. I love the homosexual community. They need Jesus as anybody else. They need Jesus just like us. Here's the deal. We have not been given the authority to manipulate and to change God's word. It's true about, listen, if you are an adulterer, you better not try to change God's word. Well, I was born this way. I just have an amazing thing for women and sleeping around. That's called adultery, man. That's crazy. You can't do that. And I don't have the authority to change that. If you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. But here's the deal. We've got these indicators. If you look at all of these things, economic, Israel, lawlessness, down the list. Have you studied ancient cultures? Did you know that the last practice before a culture implodes is immorality and homosexuality historically throughout human race? Did you know that? God is showing us that the stage is being set. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, the Bible there says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? By the way, it's Israel in your Bible. It's not Palestine. It's Israel. There was never the word Palestine was ever mentioned, ever known, until 135 AD when Emperor Hadrian, to insult the Jews, named the land of Israel according to its ancient enemy, the Philistines. That's where it comes from. The Bible knows nothing about the word Palestine. If your Bible says Palestine, you've got some goofball translation. Who's in the back of my Bible map says Palestine? That's because the publisher is a nutcase. They don't understand that. The Bible says Israel. I'm not offend you or not, but that's just pure truth, guys. Will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? They asked Jesus. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. I find that interesting. You will not know the times and the seasons, but the Bible tells us through the Apostle Paul that we'll never know the day or the hour. But Paul says, concerning the times and the seasons, you'll have no need that I should write to you.
Again, we're playing a message this hour, Pastor Jack Hibbs, about our prophetic assurance. And I'm Jan Markell, your host of Understanding the Times Radio. That's the program you're listening to as I speak. And let's get back to Jack Hibbs, and I'll have more to say about CDs and DVDs available in just a few minutes.
We're living in amazing days, ladies and gentlemen. And the exhortation is upon us to be relevant this way, to be watching as a Christian church, to be watching as a believer of what's going on around us. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible tells us, but he said, go now. God is speaking to Daniel. For what I have is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined in these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. We're to know the prophetic word of God. Go to a church that teaches the Bible, the whole Bible, and doesn't shy away from Bible prophecy and from encouraging you and giving you the know-how to engage the local culture where you live. We're to be watchmen on the wall. I mentioned this verse last night, but I'll read more of it. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus said, be careful because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of this life. And that day will close in upon you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Notice, as we looked at last night, I'll mention it again. Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. You know what's funny about that verse? I mean, the world's going crazy. It's kind of like, how much more of a surprise could it possibly be? If things are so obvious. What in the world's going on? Daniel said the wise would understand in the last days. You know what's going on because you know your Bibles. In Luke chapter 12, verse 35, the Bible says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That's a beautiful picture. You're ready to go. You're almost like in the sprinter stance. You're in the blocks at the Olympics and you're carrying a torch. Be ready. That's the attitude of the Christian. Be ready. How we speak. Listen, what we let our eyes see. Where you click on the internet. That's not being ready. Have your lamp burning, speaking about the Holy Spirit being the very accelerant of your life as a Christian. Be ready. Be watching. He says in verse 36, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Verse 37, blessed are all those for whom their master, when he comes, will find them watching. Therefore, you also, verse 40 says, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect him. What a great comfort that is. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us, 2 Peter 3, beloved, I now write to you in the second epistle, in both of which I stir you up, your pure minds, by way of remembering or reminder. that you may be mindful, that is, have it before your mind, the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, that the apostle of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers, those who criticize, critique, mock the last days, are coming, saying, where is the promise of his coming? I just want to lay this out to you guys, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but just think this through for a moment. The Bible goes to great length to say to the believers of every age for the last 2,000 years, be watching, be ready, be vigilant, be on guard. Some of the Hebrew words mean, or Greek words mean, to be scanning the horizon while you're living life. And then somebody comes along and says from the pulpit, or maybe some friend shares with you what they're thinking about, and they say, I don't think the Lord's going to come back. I think it's going to be a while, maybe. I don't know. Listen, we better be careful when we talk like that. We better be careful. I have an extreme reaction, allergic reaction, to people who hint that he's not coming back. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I see a constant challenge and given to us. Be watching, be ready. You don't know when. I'm dead serious about that. Now, listen, could the Lord come back today? Yes, I told you last night. I was surprised he didn't come back yesterday. I'm serious. But if danger comes our way, see, well, the church in America is going to get raptured before danger comes, right? I don't know that. You don't know that. We don't know that. He could come today. He could come next month. But here's the deal. If I start to say, or if you know any leader that starts to say, you know what, I wouldn't be looking for Jesus. You better get ready for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not commanded in Scripture anywhere in the Bible to be looking for the false Christ. That's crazy. The next thing that I love about the age in which we're living in right now and the fact that our prophetic assurance is something that we can be completely at ease with and trusting God for is that, you know, the stuff that you're having go on in your life right now, you know, the difficulties that you're going through? You know, all you who raised your hands a little while ago as Christians, right? Have you noticed? And I know it's not just me because this is off the charts. Have you noticed people's lives, believers, their lives are being put through the crucible right now like I've never seen before in 38 years? Marriage challenges, sicknesses, diseases, all kinds of things. What's happening? I did a wedding. Our attorneys have kept me on the lowdown regarding weddings in California because I'm a target by a certain group of people. So they can't publish if I'm going to do a wedding somewhere. So I do these. I crash the weddings that I actually am presiding over. I show up. And this one was a big one. This was a big, expensive wedding. And West Hollywood, where I'm not supposed to go. And it was so beautiful, though, I got to tell you. It was a family from our church, and everything was perfect. It was in this ancient cathedral. It was gorgeous and everything. There was not a penny spared. Gorgeous event. And from my vantage point, as I'm standing there, right? And by the way, the husband and all the men are all West Point officers, and they had all of their regalia on. It was awesome. And they opened the doors, right? And I can see right down the aisle. I'm doing the wedding. I can see right down the aisle. I see her standing there. And she's got her gown. And I had seen her before the service. He had not. I had seen her. Just before, listen, when I came around to get into position, she was back there with her ladies in waiting, or whatever you want to call the team. You know, her squad. Her entourage. Bridesmaids. I knew that. I was just seeing if you knew that. So, you know what they were doing? She stood like this. She stood like this. You know what they were doing? They look like little monkeys with the other little... Exactly. They're going like this. Pulling every little thread, moving every little hair. She's just like this. What was going on? She was getting ready. Then they opened the doors, and then there was somebody back there, and this person lifted up her dress from the back and went, whoom, like this, and she just went, boom. And she started going down the aisle. You should have seen her dad because of the glory of her gown. And I looked at that. I've done hundreds of weddings. I looked at that. I got all shook up because this is what I felt the Lord say to my heart. Jack, all the stuff that's going on in my kids' lives right now, all the stuff that's going on in the life of the church, I'm doing exactly that. I'm doing exactly that. The wedding's coming. I'm getting her ready. All these little things are removing the impurities. All the stuff that's going on. When the Supreme Court made their decision on June 26th, I went out in the backyard under my big sycamore tree. And because we're very connected to the Prop 8 thing. I knew what was going on. And I said, God, don't you care? I was feeling horrible. And I eventually calmed down. And I felt the Lord say to my heart, why are you disappointed? You looked to man in a human court to rule my way? Jack, You're disappointed because you put your faith in a system that I have forsaken. You put your faith in men to make a decision. They do not know what they're doing. So he told me, I'm telling you, he told me, get up, stop whining, and keep doing what you're doing. Just don't talk to me again about this. No, I'm serious. That's how he talks to me. Just, I said it, that's it. Jack, just go do it. And I'm telling you, I was in that second under that big tree. I was immediately filled with confidence. That was God saying to me, Jack, I'm still on the throne. And it was fun. In fact, I wound up, that was on a Friday. On Sunday, I wound up giving a message. I came out, and many years ago, David Barton, myself, and about eight other guys, we started doing the Black Robe Regiment. You guys aware of that at all? The Black Robe Regiment. We started out with 10 guys. That is, once a year, we don a black robe, and we come out in the spirit of our revolutionary pastors, and we address the issues according to the Bible in light of what's happening in our country. And on that Sunday, I walked out in a black robe, and I said two things. I said, number one, I want all of you to see what a real black robe looks like in light of Friday's decision. And the second thing is, I come to you in the spirit of the black robe pastors of colonial America. And what happened was, I just kind of talked about marriage and who invented marriage and all this kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is this, you guys, that generated a lot of accolades on the internet, but also generated a lot of negative response. You can't take that stuff personal. If you're standing for Jesus, you guys, listen, if you have the Bible in your life, in your heart, and you understand Bible prophecy, are you listening, everybody? If you know Bible prophecy, you'll stand for God because you know how it ends. And if you're biblical, you'll always wind up being right. I want to say that again. If you're biblical, you'll always wind up being right. But that will generate a response, but that's okay. Do you guys have the slide by any chance of the persecution that's taking place in the world today? Oh yeah, you got it. Look. You guys, this is Open Doors 2015. I alluded to this last night. This is the watch list for persecution. And the nation's marked. I can't see it. It's not clear enough to my eyes. But is the red like extreme or dangerous? Right, the colors. It's expanding, obviously, in the world. It is heating up. Ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned last night, through VOM and Open Doors, persecution is breaking out across the world that has never seen this scale of persecution. I know that sounds like a huge statement, but thanks to the media and the things that we have right now, this is the first time in human history we've been able to monitor persecution on a scale like this. What does that mean? It means that it won't be long. It means that it won't be long for the Lord to come. Things are happening so fast, as Michelle Bachman pointed out. It's so quick. It's going so fast. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen quick. And I want to encourage you, because Jesus mentioned that regarding the last day's events. Do you remember when he said, "Behold, I come quickly"? When you read that in the English, you go, "Well, what's taking you so long? Behold, I come quickly. Come on already." The word doesn't mean I'm going to come fast. It means that once the domino falls, it's going to go really quick. We're seeing that start now. And we're not even into it yet. Imagine that.
And other speakers for our event a month ago were Dr. Robert Jeffress, who actually spoke about what the Bible says about the future of Islam. How is it going to be defeated? He dealt with that message. We had Michelle Bachman talked about perilous times and what actually happens when America stops being the world's leader. There are terrible, terrible consequences. Dr. Jeffress had a second message. Can we delay America's coming implosion? Pastor Jack Hibbs had two messages. We're covering one this hour, but his other message was on the grand deception, how false doctrine is the key to the end time scenario. And I think the conference home run hitter was Amir Sarfati from Israel, Bible prophecy teacher from Israel. His message was on Israel standing alone. You can get CDs and DVDs, six messages on DVD, $40 plus five shipping. You can get six messages on CD, $30 plus five shipping. OliveTreeViews.org, views as in viewpoint. You can give us a call, 763-559-4444, and you can write to us at our P.O. Box number, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All of this to be repeated again this hour. So just grab a pencil and paper, be ready to write down. Again, just $40 for six DVDs, which have valuable PowerPoint and even speaker video, and $5 shipping, and $30 for six CDs, $5 shipping and handling. Checks made out to Olive Tree Ministries. I'm back in just a minute or two, and we'll conclude with Pastor Jack Hibbs on our prophetic assurance. I invite you on an incredible journey, a breathtaking tour of God's creation wonders, visible and invisible. Watch God's creative handiwork and what His creation reveals about His character. From the power of a thunderstorm to the intricacy of DNA or snow crystals, you will marvel at our God of wonders. This DVD, God of Wonders, is yours for a donation of any amount if you ask for it and live in the USA. Call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or visit us online at olivetreeviews.org. You can also send a tax-deductible gift for the DVD to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
My name's Shar, and these conferences are important because of Israel. And most of the world, if they haven't already turned their back, are turning their backs on Israel. Because people need to start paying attention to that. And they need to understand that, and we don't teach that anymore in this country.
We're from a rural part of Illinois near Galesburg, and I listen to Jan all the time, and very thankful that people like Jan are willing to take a stand and not compromise. That's so rare today.
Now for the conclusion of today's Understanding the Times, here is Jan Markell.
And remember, I like to keep in touch with you. I do so through my e-newsletter, olivetreeviews.org, my print newsletter, 5 times a year and free, through our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, through Twitter, Olive Tree Min. You can get a CD of any program. You can even get a CD of this program. We will not be airing any more conference messages from Understanding the Times 2015 until perhaps next spring or summer. So we aired Amir Sarfati a few weeks ago, and now Pastor Jack Hibbs' message number 2. But there are many other messages, but this will be the last airing of any conference message for probably 6 months. Now let's get back to the conclusion of Pastor Jack Hibbs on our prophetic assurance.
And then also this, be comforted with this, church. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus said, I know your works. He's speaking to the church at Philadelphia. Don't you want to be the church at Philadelphia? I think that's our choice, by the way, to be that church. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength. Watch this. How's that, Jesus? How is it that we have a little strength? What open door have you set? Are opened up to us. What is that? Why did you do that? Number one, you've kept my word. I want to commission you to this. Go to a Bible teaching church and make sure, listen, as a pastor, I want to say this to you. Go to a Bible teaching church, but don't let your Sunday or your midweek service be your only time of Bible study. Your Sunday morning or your midweek service should be salt and pepper. It should be Tabasco, where I come from, on your meat. Your meat should come every day as you, Christian, prepare yourself in the Word every day. Get alone with Jesus. Spend time with Him. Start to look at His face. I'm a big fan of this. Get alone in the dark. Get up before the sun. Get up before your neighbors. I get convicted. My neighbor is a machinist, and sometimes he goes to work before I do, meaning he drives away before I've met with Jesus. I feel kind of bad about that. I should be meeting my Jesus before he goes and meets his equipment. You know what I'm saying? Get in the dark. Imagine for a moment you'd be blind and you want to get to know somebody. How do you get to know somebody if you're blind? You touch their face. In our private devotional life, that's how we get to know God. That's how we touch his face. In the darkness, when the world is quiet and we're alone, invest in that time. Set your alarm a little bit early if you have to, but by all means do it. And you'll hear him say this major thing, you've kept my word. A church that should host your attendance is a church that is biblically based and doctrinally correct. Number 2, Jesus said, and you have not denied my name. Because you have, listen, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What a promise that is. And then we'll end with this, you guys. There's a separation that's coming. And this is painful maybe to some of us, but there's a separation coming. So what do you mean? I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about after this conference right now, you go back to your homes, you go back to your families, you go back to things that have been happening in your life where you live. And have you noticed in these last couple of months, if not this last year or two, that you as a Christian, you have become a little bit more marginalized in your family, haven't you? You have been receiving pressure from family members that, well, now that it's legal, you've got to accept him. Or now that it's legal, you got to go to that wedding. Or things like, well, you know what? This is the proposition, or this is the bill, or this is the law, and you got to do it. Godless things. And you are now thrown on the horns of a dilemma. Emotionally, you want to be loved and cared for. I get that. We all have families. And now, because of the way the world is going, I've either got to appease my feelings or obey God. This is a tough call because we're always to be loving. But we need to remember what the love of God is all about. We are to never be loving to the world at the compromise of God's truth. We need to contact our friends or our family members or our coworkers that are saying, you know, you've got to go with my flow now. You've got to do my thing. No, you know what? We've got to tell them, listen, and there's a separation coming. This is what's really happening in our churches, at least in our church. There are people saying, you know what? Listen, I can't participate in this action. I love you. I'm a Christian. But the Supreme Court, listen, it is not a law. When the Supreme Court violates the lawgiver God of heaven, that a civil court, that a court of man can never trump what God has decreed. There's a court in heaven that is God's court. It's his law. Bad laws are not God's laws. God doesn't make bad laws. Just because people in black robes say it's a law, it's not a law. You're not surprised by that. The apostle said, you guys decide. Imagine that. They just got beat up for preaching Jesus. There's blood. They're like, oh man, we got bandages on. And they said, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they're released. And Peter turns around and says, I tell you what. I wish I could have heard him. I tell you what. You judge. This is what we need to be saying. Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California. You judge. You judge if we as believers are to obey you or God, because you've stepped into God's Bible. You stepped into God's pulpit. You've stepped into God's realm. And as the Black Robe Regiment of pastors, starting out with 10, we've got over 1,000 of them now across America saying, we will obey God rather than man. And that should be incumbent upon every believer. I want to encourage you. There's a separation that has begun. And Jesus said, it's going to heat up so much that he says the father will be against son and son against father and daughter against mother and mother-in-law against daughter. Have you read that in your Bible? And now we're starting to live it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you have, in fact, can I have you stand? Can I have you stand? I don't know why. I'm thinking maybe they should stand for this. But I want to commission you. There is something about making a public commitment. Even if we don't want to, the Holy Spirit will say, remember when you did? Because he's the witness, is he not? I'm going to ask you to recite this with me, if you would. Dear Lord, I commit my life to you now. I thank you that you saved me, but now I'm asking you to use me. I give my body to be a living sacrifice to accomplish what you will. From this moment on, I do not count my life dear to myself, to live as Christ, to die as gain, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. I give you this pledge, dear Lord Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for the invitation to be here. God bless all of you. And God bless Jan.
I hope that closing challenge by Pastor Jack Hibbs inspired you and encouraged you. We do have prophetic assurance. It's the assurance that Jesus Christ is returning with the saints. That's you and me. It is the hope of every believer, and even more so as our times deteriorate as they are. These are things we talked about back on October 2nd and 3rd near Minneapolis. Plan on joining us next October 15th to hear Ann Graham Lotz, Mark Hitchcock, White House correspondent Bill Koenig, and others. We will help you understand the times, contend for the faith, be watchmen on the wall in these very perilous times. Remember to say with the psalmist, I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today's message from Jack Hibbs can be downloaded at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or purchase a single CD when you phone 763-559-4444 to order 2015 conference DVDs or CDs. Just visit us online at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. When you call, ask about our monthly program subscription. This broadcast ministry deeply appreciates your prayer and financial support. With your tax-deductible donation of any size, we'll send you the video, God of Wonders. To order, call 763-559-4444. Again, phone 763-559-4444. This offer is for USA residents only. Your gifts are also welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Coast to coast, every weekend with the inconvenient truth, this is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Join Jan Markell next week for more Inconvenient Truth. Thank you for listening.